Welcome to Recipe Club, the podcast where we debate the best way to cook the things you want to eat. This is the only show, so far as we know, where you, the listener, can submit a recipe so that three of America's purplest, most trending cooks can cook it for you, then screw around with it using our proprietary Wheel of Death behind me. Let's get into our little game. Today, well, every day, my name is Chris Ying. I'm hosting this podcast with two of my dearest friends here. Which one of you is Priya Krishna, longtime OG Recipe Club wedgie, is in fact sitting in for my normal co-host Dave Chang today. So you will be playing the role of Dave Chang. And joining us in studio is our featured guest wedgie, Rachel Kong, who has also played the role of Dave Chang before. Let me ask you this, Priya. When you're where were you when you got the call that, you know, you're going to be going on stage today? You know, it's the understudy, is that what it's called? Understudy?
Sure. Yeah.
What were you doing when you got the call, like, "Hey, Dave's sick. We need you to stand in for Dave." Have you been like practicing your lines? Well, walk me through your give me a little get ready with me day for Priya, the understudy for Dave.
It was actually now at the end of September. And where was I? I think I was at home. I was about to head out on a trip to a wedding when I got the call. And, you know, I went out and bought a nondescript baseball cap, an expensive jacket, a $5 t-shirt,
a Tesla,
some non-alcoholic beer, and a Tesla. And I got in character.
Amazing. I'm so glad you've committed to the role here in all of its majesty.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com, Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Rachel, this is your featured episode because for those who are listening to this episode or listening to Recipe Club the first time, at the beginning of the season, we choose our ingredients according to a draft, and then we all get to cook the recipes accordingly. So, Rachel, you chose ube.
Mm-hmm.
Where was this in your sort of?
I don't think it was high. I mean, I think it was maybe an appealing choice of the choices that were left. And it was something that I had been curious about. You know, it's an alluring color.
You were
hue.
Ube curious.
Ube curious, 100%. But yeah, I had never cooked with ube, as I don't know you have. Either, yeah.
I don't think that I have cooked with ube very much. To be honest, when we were compiling this list of theme ingredients for the season, I put ube on here because it is sort of a perennial trending ingredient, which is what I was Googling right before we got onto this call. If you Google ube recipes, you get like 6 million results. If you Google ube food trend, you also get 2 million results. Whoa. Just as like a trending food. So I Googled ube food trend and I get ube, the Uber ingredient of 2023 from Forbes. I've got Paste Magazine says ube just keeps getting more popular. Semaphore ube, the Filipino yam will be the flavor of the year, trend forecasters
say.
What
year was that?
23. This is all for 23.
We only have 2 months to make it happen.
The Filipino Spoon University says the Filipino purple yam is exploding in popularity. Here's why.
Wow.
The Guardian, Food Network, Priya, your own New York Times declared it the tuber of the year, I believe, in 2023.
Beating out other tubers.
Wow. Other
It was a mad race. There's a lot to be said for tube as a trending ingredient.
Tube. She said tube.
Tube.
Tube or not tube? That is the question. Shit, that's why it's such a good trending
ingredient.
That
is good, yeah. If we only still had a magazine, think of the puns.
Just the ube issues. We could definitely do an ube. If we had continued to make Lucky Peach, we would definitely be doing the ube issue by now. There'd be like, yeah,
100%. Yes. 100%. And it would be like a big purple cover, the cover, yeah, of Grimace.
Yeah. Priya, do you cook with ube? Have you, what is your ube experience?
I don't think I have cooked with ube, but I'm pretty sure Seth has baked with ube before. Maybe ice cream? I'm not sure, but he's very ube curious.
Sorry, I don't know if I can continue. If we keep saying ube curious, I don't think I can keep making this podcast. My point is this. For the tuber of the year, exploding trend of 2023, we have three people who are like pretty in touch with food and cooking, none of which have ever cooked with ube. I don't really know. I guess, like, do you feel like this trend is real, or is it just like a total fiction?
I think it's totally real. I have seen ube at like many, many restaurants across the country, mm-hmm, at ice cream shops, dessert places. I think like it's similar to like how matcha became huge. I feel like people love almost the color more than they love the flavor. Also, Trader Joe's sells them as purple sweet potatoes, I think.
So, here's the thing. Now we're into it here. When you Google ube and you just try to find out what ube is, almost every website, and I mean, I think you saw this too, yeah, Rachel, describes ube via, like, via negativa. It says, like, all the things ube is not first. So it's like, mm-hmm, ube is not a purple sweet potato. Ube is not to be confused, uh-oh, with this kind of yam. Ube is not this. I'm convinced there is no such thing as ube. Just like, ube, yeah, there's like a bunch of things ube is not, but there's, yeah, no such thing as ube.
It's possible. I think that's totally true. I mean, so we were talking, I was texting Chris about shopping for ube. I live near three Filipino markets, and none of them had fresh ube. I think it's really, at least where I am, you know, LA area, it was really hard to find fresh tubers. They did have purple sweet potatoes, which I sent Chris a picture and he said, no, that's not
wow.
it. Ube are apparently brown and furry.
I don't know if they're furry, but they're like more of a, they're brown or like purpley brown.
Yeah.
And have like, you sent me something that was like kind of a lighter color.
Yes. Skin. And so I did do more Googling, and I do think that there's a purple sweet potato. There's a purple yam, which I don't think is the correct word exactly for what ube is.
Oh.
But ube and purple yam, I think, can be used interchangeably, whereas ube and purple sweet potato are not. Mm-hmm. Those are different things.
Okay.
Right. In fact, yeah, it's culturally offensive online to use a purple sweet potato in place of an ube. It's all actually right.
No, but it did say it did, like, everything that I saw online said you can substitute. I mean, because it's hard to find. It's hard to find ube, despite its being the tuber of the year.
Okay. It's again, tuber of the year, exploding in popularity. None of us have cooked with it, and you cannot find it, and it cannot be defined.
But that's the thing, is that while I was at Seafood City, there were so many things that were, like, ube flavored. You know, you could get, yeah, ube pancake mix. You could get ube cookies. You could get chips. There were so many things. Mm. And I found frozen ube and, like, frozen whole ube, but it was just, like, the fresh root did not seem to it eluded me.
I could not find the fresh root either.
I have a theory in which, do you think that maybe many ube products, like pumpkin spice products,
yes,
like, contain no ube?
Yes. And in fact, I did look at, there was like an ube extract, or, you know, like sort of like vanilla extract type thing. And I looked at the ingredients and it said something like, this is the McCormick brand ube extract, said something like natural, like sweet potato. It was just some kind of compound that mimicked, yeah, sweet potatoes, but wasn't ube, and then coloring, essentially.
Ube is Tagalog the Tagalog word for this, whatever this tuber is that cannot be described or named. What's the word for this? it's ineffable.
Ube.
It's ineffable.
It's just ube.
Ube is ineffable. Let's make that T-shirt.
Was Dave trying to say the other day? Oh, sublimate. No, what was he saying?
I forget.
Something like sublimation. I don't know. He was trying to.
It was also ineffable.
Yeah, ineffable.
What can either of you describe to me the flavor? Or just for somebody out there who has no idea what we're talking about, who's heard us say ube curious 17 times and doesn't know what this is, it is all we've said is it's a dark-skinned, purple-fleshed, not sweet potato.
Yes.
What do you guys describe the flavor of ube or any of these various foods you're seeing at restaurants, Priya, the ube pastries and goods? Like, what is the flavor of this thing?
To me, it is like a little sweet potato and a little taro,
you
know? Mm-hmm. It's like got the taro, like earthiness kind of, and
kind of like a creamy, I don't know. It's like not creamy, but it's like a richness to it that like taro has. I think it's vanilla.
It's vanilla, yeah.
For me, it also has like a coconutty-ness to it in the same way that like pandan has. It's not like coconut flavored, but I feel like it has a little bit of coconuttiness.
Or is it because that's what people put with it?
I feel like that might be the thing where like ube and coconut get paired so often that when people sell like an ube bun or an ube brownie or whatever, they've like put a bunch of coconut in it too because ube has no flavor.
I don't know. I was like tasting the ube that I brought and I definitely got like sweet potato-esque like tubery notes, but I got like a little bit of coconutiness even without the coconut portion of the recipe.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not gonna try to gaslight you on the coconut you did or didn't taste. I'm kidding, Priya. Okay, so we've established that ube is a trending ingredient in 2023 and will probably be a trending ingredient in 2024 and 2025. It is hard to find, at least on the West Coast in L.A. It was hard to find in fresh form.
I do think it's – I read somewhere that it was invasive. It's kind of invasive in its native habitat.
Cool. I mean, not cool.
I think it's cool for some.
Yeah.
And then did we figure out
– cool for ube.
Yeah.
Ube is also – let's see here. Uhi is a Hawaiian yam because like I also associate ube with Hawaii some reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like just like an island food, but I guess it's a different thing. But the purpleness is crazy. The purpleness is undeniably beautiful, I think. Although when I made mine, I lost all purpleness to my ube.
This is a trend with Chris's baked goods.
I cooked like anything I try to make colorful just turns out into like it sucks the color out of the universe. It's just like an all-consuming color monster. And we got like actually a decent number of submissions when we put this out to our audience to give us their ube recipes. So we got a ube Basque cheesecake from Ankita Krishnan. Ube cookies and ube cake from Cecilia Wong. Oh, God. Ginatang Bilo Bilo from Leanne Cruz. Horchata from Hugo Ta. Sweet potato Haupia squares from Brandy Yamada. We debated this last time.
Mm-hmm.
Which one did you choose, Rachel, and why did we do that?
I chose the sweet potato Haupia.
Is it Haupia? Haupia?
Haupia.
Haupia.
We're sorry. Haupia squares. I think the other contender for me was the Ginatang Bilo Bilo because that was a dessert soup, which I, you know, grew up with and have some affinity for. But just knowing our recipe club format, I thought, you know, this tart seems... there's more components. It seems like we can play around with more things. And it also seems like mildly seasonal. You know, it's sort of like it's a little like pumpkin spice in a way.
It's a gourd base or a tuber based dessert.
Gourd. Mm-hmm. I feel like gourds and tubers are in the same, not literally the same family.
Careful now. So far, we're calling sweet potatoes the same thing as yams. Now we're saying gourds and tubers are the same thing.
I'm just saying that they have, like, you know, like you just have some, like, earthy sweetness from both.
Yeah, Sam, too. You said that, not me. That's a stereotype I am not willing to put out there for a gourd.
But it's, yeah, seasonal delight. So I thought, let's do the tart.
Yes. And speaking of sort of Hawaiian inflected things, the hapia is a Hawaiian coconut pudding.
Yes.
Like very, very common in Hawaii. Yeah. But Brandy Yamada sent this recipe in.
Hi, my name is Brandy Yamada, and this is my recipe for sweet potato hapia squares. I'm from Hawaii originally, and I've been living in Korea for the past 10 years. But this recipe or this dessert is just really popular everywhere in Hawaii. You can find it just in like grocery store refrigerator sections or in fancier dessert shops there. And it's just so good. Like, I made it recently for my sister's wedding. I made all the desserts for it, and that was her number one request, and everyone ate all of it. And it's just well known, and it has like elements that are popular. Like, we eat the Okinawan sweet potato and ube, which, like, when I told my mom that I was doing this podcast, she thought, and I said, oh, it's an ube recipe, but I told them that we can use it interchangeably. And she said, what? I thought they were the same thing anyway. So a lot of people don't even realize that they're different things, Okinawan sweet potato and ube. But we eat that all the time in like lots of desserts or just by itself. And then haupia, a coconut pudding, it's on a lot of cakes in like more of a loose form, or we just eat it by itself in a firmer form. We can almost just like break it and it holds its shape, but kind of a gelatin texture. And it's a traditional Hawaiian type of dessert. So actually my sister's husband's father, this is his recipe. Yeah, we've just added little twists, I suppose. Like nowadays I might put some coconut flakes on top, but that's not the norm. It takes time. And then I was thinking, if someone didn't know what this was, yeah, you should chill it and eat it cold. I would recommend, of all the different coconut milks, the Aroy D brand that has the strongest coconut flavor, at least with the cans. And then don't overcook the haupia. You want it to still be quite soft. So as soon as it thickens a bit in the pot, that's the time to take it off. Pour it on top. It's a layered dessert, so there'll be a nice crumbly crust, and then the ube layer, and then the haupia on top. So three layers. And you want the haupia not to get too firm. 20 minutes is going to be really tough, and the slow cooker is going to be disgusting.
So you have this three-tiered nutty crust, purple filling, and then this clean white top to it. So that's the recipe as originally sent in and originally made by Brandy. Thank you for sending that in. But, of course, here on Recipe Club, we don't do anything by the book. We like to do things crazy style. So we all took a spin on the Wheel of Death. Is it behind me? Right here. And got our marching orders. Each of us received a constraint. So I landed on slow cooker. So I had to make my version of the hapia sweet potato squares in a slow cooker. Rachel, for the 25th time this season, got under 20 minutes. So she had to make her version in less than 20 minutes. And Priya, who is adopting Dave's constraint, inherited Doomsday. So she had to make her hapia sweet potato squares using nothing but shelf-stable ingredients, just in case, you know, the apocalypse comes
tomorrow. I'm so confused as to why we all keep spinning the same thing. And it's not even like we're spinning ourselves. Like, you're spinning for me. And I get the same thing.
Yeah. Feels I don't know rigged. How it's happening. It does feel rigged. I wish that I could say I was rigging it, but I would be rigging it against myself every time because I have not been happy with a single result this season.
This is something that the universe wants to teach you.
Just
how to slow cook.
I refuse. I'll get into this
until
later.
Until you accept it, you're going to keep spinning slow.
You're 100% right, because This is like, this is seriously, I've drawn slow cooker so many times. I've drawn the short straw in slow cooker so many times
this
season.
The last time we talked.
Yeah. And I just cannot believe how slow a slow cooker is. Like yesterday, I was going to make this in the studio during work. And I thought to myself, I've got about like 90 minutes left before I have to leave. I can probably crank this thing out in the slow cooker. Spoiler alert. It took 9 hours for me to slow cook my version of this thing. It just like, it was, it did not, the slow cooker is so, I know it is. And to your point, it's like the universe is trying to teach me to slow down, man.
Yeah, patience.
Just like chill out. Let it cook. Let it cook itself.
Let it cook slowly.
Let it cook slowly, bro. Where should we start, guys? This is Rachel's episode. I like to start with the one that's sort of closest to the original so we can get a sense of it. But I don't know. Priya, how off book do you think you had to go for this?
I didn't go too off book, but I did have to like get some pastry science involved.
Oh, that sounds good. Let's go to Priya first. Priya, the doomsday prepper. pretend, Priya, as you describe this, will you do it not as like a past tense thing, will you describe this to us as though you are a doomsday prepper prescribing this to us as people who you're trying to convince to be a doomsday prepper with you?
Yeah. So the mushroom fungus is coming for us all. Most of the world will be dead in 2 years. So stock up on your firearms, order a
Priya's
bunch of
children's
frozen meat.
Cookbook is coming out as well. It's fine because your children are going to die in 1 year.
Buy that book and then get prepping. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm lovely. Priya, you got a real yes and attitude, and I really appreciate it. So what should I do? What should I do, Priya? I've built my bunker, but I'm just craving. I'm craving a taste of the islands. I need some sweets for dessert.
Okay, so what you're going to want to do is for your crust, really all you have to substitute is the butter. Refined coconut oil makes for a great option because refined coconut oil has a coconutty flavor, but unlike unrefined coconut oil, it's milder, so it's not going to overpower the entirety of the crust. For cashews, for nuts, I would choose cashews just because I feel like they give you that nice richness. And they're, again, mild. So to make the crust, you just do coconut oil, sugar, flour, chopped nuts. It gets into that nice sandy texture very easily. Put it in your pan, bake it, easy enough. For the filling, it gets a little bit more complicated because I considered, even though I imagine ube will last a long time, I considered that not a shelf-stable item. And also eggs are not shelf stable. So I did a bunch of research online and you can buy dehydrated ube. It's just like nothing but ube, just dehydrated. And so I found a brand where they didn't add any food coloring. It was just the ube dehydrated and then just like crushed into a powder. I ordered a bunch of that. And so what I ended up doing was I bought a can of sweet potato filling and folded like the dehydrated ube into the sweet potato. And it sort of basically made, it was like the equivalent of buying canned ube. I think the mixture ended up being like half dehydrated ube, half sweet potato filling, but it got to a really, really nice consistency that I felt really good about. And then with the eggs, I needed something that would like bind and thicken in the same way. And Seth suggested a combination of cornstarch and arrowroot powder because both are thickeners. But he said arrowroot powder gives you a little bit more of a gelatinous texture, which he feels like this, like he read the recipe and he was like, I feel like they're going for a little bit. You want a little bit of bounce to the pie. And so the arrowroot powder will give you that bounce. So I kind of just like messed with the ratios until I found like a batter consistency that I felt good about. Evaporated milk, shelf stable, vanilla, salt. Instead of the butter, I once again swapped in the refined coconut oil, mixed it, baked it. The texture was fantastic. When I cut into it, it sort of felt like a pumpkin pie consistency. And then the, is it pronounced hopia?
Hopia.
Hopia.
Well, we think.
Hopia. Yeah, hopia.
The hopia was very easy. I just made it exactly as described, plopped it on top. This was delicious. It was not too sweet, which, as we all know, is the gold standard of desserts. It was like that really beautiful purple color. The texture was just right. It was creamy. It was a little bit bouncy. The crust worked out great. It wasn't too coconutty. Yeah, even Seth liked it.
Awesome. So did you feel like, I mean, I obviously you didn't make the original version, but did you feel it was doomsday-y? Did you feel like it was like using shelf-stable ingredients took away from it at all? What did you think ultimately of the powdered, dehydrated ube?
It didn't taste doomsday. And then I was thinking about how like so many recipes for that type of pie use canned stuff to begin with. And so really I was just like substituting the eggs out for another type of like thickener. So it didn't really feel like I was missing out on anything by not using fresh.
Vegan?
I actually thought.
Is it vegan now?
Yeah, I guess technically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, doomsday vegan.
Accidentally vegan.
Well, I think of the arrowroot as a living being, so
wow.
Technically, yeah. No.
And the corn from which starch is harvested. Corn has more DNA than us.
What does that mean?
It just has more information in its DNA.
Why?
I don't know.
Corn is one thing, just a bunch.
It's more complex for some reason.
Corn is more complex than humans?
It just has more DNA. I'm just telling you a fact.
Maybe we should have given you the doomsday prepper assignment, dude. Where are you getting these facts?
Also, when you poop out corn, it's the exact same.
We're like, 27 minutes shape. In.
We did it.
We did it.
We got a poop. We got a corn poop.
Wait,
reference.
Say that again?
She's saying that the body corn, doesn't change the corn same. At all. Right.
Oh, it's like quinoa.
It's the same coming in as going out.
Do you find that with quinoa as well? Because I do.
I hate myself.
Haven't noticed, we'll be on alert.
Yeah. Check it out next time.
It's not okay. Both of you are wrong. It is not the same. Corn that I put in my mouth and eat is not the same as corn that comes out of my butt. Okay.
Like, it is.
One
it
major
is.
Thing has changed. It came out of my butt. Okay. That's a big difference. Okay. I understand what you're saying. On the cellular level, it has not changed. But one important thing has changed for that corn. I got...
It's life-changing for the corn, honestly.
That corn will never be the same. That corn knows
spiritually,
me intimately.
It's...
biblically.
Biblically.
It knows me biblically. Gross.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
I got slow cooker. And unlike last time the three of us sat together, I actually used the slow cooker because I got a little guff from you two.
Yeah. You would not accept it for the second time. No way.
Peanut gallery. So here's the thing. I did a little bit of poking around on baking in a slow cooker. Because, ostensibly it should work. There shouldn't be, there's not too much different in that environment. And there's a lot of stuff online about, there seems like to be like a whole community of bake in a slow cooker people.
Christina Tozzi, in her cookbook, she has a slow cooker cake recipe, and I've made it. It's really good.
I think that they are all fine. Here's my thing, and I'll get to this in the end. I think that everything that comes out of a slow cooker is exactly the same. that's the whole point.
Like a stew?
It's the opposite of what happens to corn. It goes into the slow cooker, it all becomes one thing.
It looks like it came out of a butt.
Yeah, exactly. It's maybe the exact same thing. The slow cooker is just a slow digester of food that turns everything into the same thing. So that is what, it's a transmogrifier. So I opted to do something a little different than do like a crust at the bottom and then do a layer of filling on top and then do this the hoppia stuff on top, because I just thought if you're doing a slow cooker, if you're a slow cooker person, you're still not somebody who wants to spend a cumulative 27 hours making this one dessert. So I decided to turn mine more into like I did the filling on the bottom and then I did like a crumble topping top of it. So the one thing I didn't think was going to work well or at all in this was to bake it all and then add the hoppia layer and then chill that. Like that was just going to make the rest of it horrifying. So I did the filling more or less as described here. I found some Gabby found me some pureed ube in the freezer. A weird thing that happened with that was she got me 3 8-ounce bags of this ube puree. Two were beautiful lilac grimace purple, and the other one was just poo-poo brown.
Like, different brands?
Same brands, wow. Three of the same packages, three identical packages, one a very different color than the other ones. And I was like, God damn. Like, I tried to avoid using the third one, but I needed more ube, so I smelled them. They all smelled the same. I put them in there. It was fine. I mixed those all together. I mixed those all together into the in the slow cooker tub. I added, instead of making a separate hoppy layer, I sort of integrated the coconut milk into the filling batter. And the one thing I wanted to make sure didn't happen was I didn't want the filling to be so thin that if I try to top it, it was just all gonna sink in and become nothing. So I left out the evaporated milk, even though I bought it, and I left out the water. I added cornstarch to it as well. I just wanted to make sure it was still thick enough that it could sustain this crumb topping. So it was the same filling except for with the addition of coconut milk. I started that in the slow cooker, and then I made this crumb topping by basically using the same ingredients, using pecans and almonds that I found in the studio. I chopped those up. I mixed them with the flour and the sugar, then sort of just like put a bunch of softened butter and, worked them into each other into little crumbly crumb balls. Sprinkled that all over the top. And God, I was so optimistic. It looked so cool. It was just like a perfect purple puree filling that looked really beautiful. It had exactly the right sort of density that this crumb topping wasn't sinking into. It's like sitting right on top.
Did it look like a cobbler, basically?
It looked exactly like a cobbler. And it wasn't a ton of, I added like a thick layer of the crumb topping on the top as well. And then this was at 10 o'clock last night. And
You brought it home. You started at the office and you brought it home?
No, I intended to start at the office. I brought it home instead. And then I got sidetracked by having to do life. And I didn't start this thing until like 9:30. 10 o'clock, I was like, okay, this will be done by like midnight. So the other adjustment I made was just I wanted the topping to get some degree of crunchiness. So I just felt nervous that if I had kept the lid fully on, it was just going to be too wet and steamy in there. And yeah. It was just going to condense. So I took a pair of disposable chopsticks and I split those in half and put them on the rim of the canister and then set the lid on top. So it was sort of vented all around.
To like dry it out.
Yeah, to keep, yeah. Like, to let some, oh, let the smart. Let the condensation escape.
Chopsticks. They do it all.
That's actually how I vent when I do like rice porridge too. I'll vent it by putting a pair of chopsticks across the top. And leave it like that.
It's like Priya's wooden spoon in the doll.
It is like your wooden spoon in the doll.
Same thing.
So 10 o'clock, I start this thing. Jamie goes to bed. My wife goes to bed. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna stay up with this thing. I said, I'm gonna stay up with this.
Your baby.
With my baby for another half hour or something. I'm staying downstairs. I'm waiting for this thing. It's on high on the slow cooker. Midnight rolls around. I look at it and I was like, it had just barely started to bubble a little. And ube, like it just like had these little pockets of like what looked like just spit. Purple spit coming out of
like
the
La
top.
Brea tar pit.
Just, yeah, like La Brea tar pit style. Just like little spit bubbles coming out of it. And I was like, nothing is happening. Do you remember, neither of you guys did the dump cake recipe, right? That was Brian.
No.
It was like that where I was like.
I thought I did it.
Oh, maybe you did.
Yeah,
the dump
I did
cake.
Do it.
I was like, nothing is happening.
Yeah.
That's right. You did the dump cake recipe and omitted the something or other, butter or something.
I just remember
nothing happened.
Yeah.
And a few of the recipes I had seen online for sort of baking in the slow cooker were the exact same. We're just like put a bunch of peaches and sugar in there and then top with like a cake mix and put a bunch of butter on it and it'll turn into a cobbler.
Yeah.
So nothing happened. It was midnight. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to come back down in 2 hours and check on this thing.
What? No.
Yeah. So I set my alarm for 2 a.m.
This is like a newborn.
Oh my God.
I got up at 2 a.m, came downstairs. A little more activity, a little more spit, the crust starting to look like maybe some sort of chemical reaction was happening there, but more or less it was still just the exact same.
Oh, poor Chris.
So I was like, okay.
Chris, it's a slow cooker.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just sleep overnight?
So I turned it. Yeah. No. So okay. That's what. Okay. Thank you very much. I reached that conclusion at this point. I was like, you know what? This motherfucker is slow as hell. I'm gonna just let it slow ass cook down here. So I turned it to. I left it on. I left it on high. I think at that point, at 2 a.m, I left it on high. My nightmare was also that it was going to like actually start bubbling or boiling, and then like my whole beautiful crumb top was going to fall apart.
Yeah,
exactly. Slow cooker never reaches a boil.
Yeah.
I went back upstairs. I went to sleep. 3:30. My wife wakes me up in a start and is like, "Chris," and I was like, "What's happening? What's going on?" She's like, "What is happening downstairs? Why does it smell so good in here?"
The smell woke her up.
She was like, "Why did you leave the oven on or something? Like, what's happening? What's going on?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, hold on." She's like, "Well, I mean, what's going on down there? Did you leave something on?" I was like, "I'm just the recipe." She's like, "What's happening?" And she's like talking to me now because she's much more awake than me. And I was like, "Stop talking to me." Just like I went downstairs, I turned it down to low, and I was like, because it a little more activity, the crust was starting to get a little crunchy, but I was hoping that it would turn brown. Mm-hmm. Unfounded hope. And I turned it to low and I was like, forget this. Like, I've got 3 more hours of sleep. I'm just going to wake up and see what this thing looks like. But I will say this. At that moment, she was 100% right. It had just this like maddeningly wonderful perfume through the whole house. It smelled insanely delicious in my entire house. Just like butter and vanilla and ube and fat and sugar. It smelled so good in the house. And at 3:30, I'm down there checking on my slow cooker, and just out of like habit, I just like open the refrigerator to like see if there's anything to eat. And I was like, it's 3:30 in the morning. Like, I gotta go to sleep. Anyway, I was like, it was pretty close then. It was starting to form a crust. I could still see it was very purple. I stuck a chopstick down into it just to see what was going on in there. And like, I pulled it up and like the filling was still really beautiful purple. I was like, dude, this is gonna be incredible.
Nice.
6:30 in the morning, I got down there. The crust was now crusty.
Whoa. That's impressive.
But the whole thing had turned more into like a cake. Like one underneath the crust, it was sort of more like almost like a fudgy little cake or whatever.
Okay.
No signs of purpleness whatsoever. Just like it was not purple at all. It still smelled intoxicatingly wonderful. No purple.
So it was brown.
It was like brown and what is the color? Gray. It was like it had like reverse Pleasantville.
Like into cement.
Yeah. Texturally very nice, very sweet, an ideal vehicle for ice cream. But I had lost that nice little layer of purpleness. And so I don't know if I had done it again, maybe just a slightly thinner layer of the crumb topping on there, might have done it. But like, I think that's what it was a cobbler. It was just like the filling and the topping had sort of merged in a nice way. So it was just like a sweet pasty thing. So overall, nice way to wake up. You know,
nice. The best part of waking up is ube in your slow cooker.
Wow.
Exactly. So that was my version. My overall, it was 10 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. or 10 p.m. to 6:30 a.m.
Oh, my God.
A long, long sleepless night for this guy. But it was all worth it to have some sweet
ube in your cup.
Ube in my cup in the morning. Rachel.
Speaking of cups.
Ooh, nice. And the opposite side of the spectrum. Rachel Kong, how did you make this thing in under 20 minutes?
Yeah, it seemed quite impossible. I did a lot of thinking about how I would do this. And in the end, I decided to take large liberties. My, just as many have in the past. And my strategy was to basically make a microwave ube mug cake. And I still wanted to retain the layers, but there was no way I was going to make hapia in 20 minutes. Like, you need to set it. Mm-hmm. There's a gelatin component. I searched my local seafood city, to see if there was, like, prepared hapia. I couldn't find it. It maybe is out there, but I just couldn't personally find it.
Hey, what is can you give us a taste of what Seafood City is like? You keep on referring to this mystical place. For people who don't know, what is
Seafood City? Well, it's pretty big. It's a huge chain, and you can buy a lot of Filipino ingredients online, and they ship to the contiguous United States, maybe even non-contiguous. I'm not sure. But they are this huge Filipino chain. They have seafood, live seafood, but they also have all these Filipino ingredients. I happen to have like three grocery stores near me that are Filipino, but Seafood City, I think, is the biggest and the one that has the most
seafood.
Definitely the most seafood. Like, I got a fried fish there the other day. Oh, it's pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty magical.
Sorry.
So yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, the three layers, I couldn't find prepared hapia. I thought what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a layer on the bottom that sort of like mimics the crust. And I did crushed up almond cookies, which may sound familiar from the last episode I did with Priya, because we had them around and because they're also like, you know, it was a nut-based crust.
Yeah.
And I thought this works well. I'm just going to crush up the cookies, sprinkle them at the bottom of a mug, a literal mug, and then I mixed together a batter that was basically a lot of the ingredients that are in this recipe. Like, I put in the evaporated milk. I also found frozen ube at the Seafood City. Mine was very purple. I think it was Pamana brand.
It's not Panama, it's Pamana. Right?
It was with an M instead. Yeah.
Hey, what is the demonym of people who reside in Seafood City, you think? Seafoodians?
We have to. So I found the frozen ube. I also found the powdered ube, actually. So this incorporated both of your styles of ube. I found powdered ube in the sort of baking section. So I did frozen ube, an egg, butter, evaporated milk, sugar, vanilla, salt, flour, the ube powder, mix that together into a batter, poured it over the cookie crumbs in the mug. I did, this was like two servings that I made, poured it into two mugs, microwaved it for about 2 minutes. It was like 2 minutes and 15 seconds I did just to be safe.
At full power.
Full power.
Yeah.
It came out definitely looking like a mug cake, like just like a steamed cake. And it also smelled really good. It just something about these flavors, I think, smell amazing. Like the ube with the vanilla, with the butter. There's like nothing. It's just so good. So then the cake was cooked. Then I scooped on some. Meanwhile, I was toasting some coconut to sprinkle over the top. I did instead of the hapia layer, I just scooped coconut ice cream on top and then sprinkled some toasted coconut, freshly toasted coconut on top, and got a long spoon, dug it all the way in to get all of the strata, various strata, and I thought it was delicious. It was like. And so I made this all, you know, like I think in under 10 minutes. Then it was like piping hot out of the microwave and the like ice cream was really cold on top. And so it was all this is like a lot of contrast. But even if you waited a few minutes for the cake to cool down, it was still well within 20 minutes. And I thought really delicious. Chris, I tried some too. Yeah.
She had so much time, in fact, that. She and Gabby were downstairs in the studio, and I was upstairs in our office, and Gabby texted me to come try the ube, and I made my slow way down to the office, my slow meandering way down, and started eating it, and the clock had not stopped running, and you still had 5 minutes left. Still had 5 minutes left for me to come downstairs and eat this thing. And you know what? Between your – last time was the pudding shot thing, almond cookie – whatever that was, flavored vodka pudding delight. And then your ice cream we made for the lemon darty party. And this thing, like, you're there. Rachel should open an Asian dessert cafe tomorrow. Like, there's no other. Priya, we just need to figure out a name for this dessert cafe.
Ube in your cup?
Ube in your cup
is pretty good.
Corn out of the butt.
What are some? Oh my god! Let me look. This what's like a? Is there like a naming con? You know, like pho restaurants all have like a sort of pho pun or have like a date.
We should ask ChatGPT.
What is a? Is there like a naming convention for Asian dessert shops?
Well, like 85 degrees or whatever.
Yeah, they also have like a number, and then
what are some other? Yeah. I'm blanking. Quickly Boba?
Meat Fresh is one. That's a chain. This one's called Phoenix Dessert.
Phoenix.
All right. Yeah. Well, listen, Recipe Club fans and wedgies, I need to activate and give us a name for Rachel's dessert shop because it was very good.
Thank you.
It was crazy. I mean, no joke. If you had a dessert shop and one of them was like this microwave ube cake, like it would be pretty cool. You would just go in and be like, here, I microwaved your cake. It's really delicious.
How about Not Too Sweet by Kong?
Oh, shit.
That's good.
Not Too Sweet in big letters and then just like in sort of cursive by Kong.
Yeah.
I was voted in, I think it was like third grade, I was voted sweetest in my class. And it made me so mad, honestly. I was like, they only voted me sweetest because they don't know anything about me. I'm dark. So this will show them. Not too sweet.
Oh, nice. I see where you're going with that. I thought, oh, wow. Yeah, Not too sweet by Kong.
Not too sweet.
Holy shit. That is a fantastic idea. It's a fantastic name. I think that that is the three different variations on this sweet potato hapia pie. Who's in there today? Just Victoria and Gabby? They're going to deliberate over who wins this thing. I mean, I feel like everybody did a really good job today. I think Rachel and I took pie pretty liberally and decided more for a cobbler and a cake. Sounds like Priya, yours was more of a pie. But I actually, whatever. Scoring aside, I think nice little tidbits from everybody's different methods here. I thought Priya doing the powdered into the can sweet potato was very smart. Obviously, the microwave cake, very smart. And I mean, listen, if you want to stick some food into the transmogrifier and have it all come out the same, I found out that you can bake things in a slow cooker. So that's a fine tip. While Gabby and Victoria deliberate over a first, second, and third place finish for this week, let's do a quick check-in with the season standings. We're into the thick of it here. No, the thick of it was the middle. Where are we now? We're at the tapered end of it.
The dregs.
We're down to the dregs here. The season. No, something more.
The
more
cereal milk.
We're into the what is it like? This is the real.
Just the finish line.
We're down to the finish
brass
line.
Brass tacks.
We're getting down to brass tacks here. God damn, Priya saving my ass all over the place today. We're down to brass tacks. There's not a lot of episodes remaining here, so these standings are pretty close to what's going to end up in the final here. And I'll go in reverse order. Right now, still living in my parents' basement. Unable to just get a foothold on life, just to build any sort of momentum. Christopher Ying, with a season average of 8.73, how the mighty have fallen. Rachel with the very fortuitous season score of 8.88 in fifth place. Dave Chang, another fallen angel, fourth place, 9.06 points.
Angel is liberal there.
third place, Brian Ford with 9.17. And since the last time I saw you two, there's been a little change at the top because John DeBerry, unlike the rest of this season, did not win his last episode. So in second place with a season average of 9.38,
whoa,
John DeBerry.
Wow.
In first place,
what an upset.
By 0.02, Priya Krishna.
Damn.
Sitting on top of the heap with 9.40. But that can all change in the blink of an eye, in the flap of a butterfly's wing.
I also feel like you forget to include the like actual last place winners of Recipe Club, which are Jamie and Seth.
Jamie and Seth, the real losers of Recipe Club, having to be awoken in the middle of the night by a strange odor coming from downstairs.
Wow, it's a fragrance.
I feel like I need to warn you that the video is really unhinged for mine because like literally in the middle of the video, Seth was just like, I'm tired of being your consultant for Recipe Club. And I was just like, but I need your help. I thought you wanted to help. And so then it just like, I turned the video off and it cuts to me like a little teary eyed being like, and then you add the flower. No.
Wait, is there maybe like a, I feel this might be an Empire Records situation where like Warren hates the record shop. Mm-hmm. Seth hates Recipe Club. But really, he just wants to be in it.
He could easily be number one.
He just wants to be in it. That's why he's so mad about it. He's like, when does Priya get to be in it? I don't get to be in it.
Yeah.
Let me say this before we get to the scores, too. Yes, it was a fragrance and not an odor.
Yes.
But if you're just sleeping in your bed.
Yeah.
And then you wake up and your house smells like baking in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
No matter how pleasant that aroma is. Unsettling.
Am I having a stroke?
Yeah. I having a stroke? Am I smelling hoppia in the middle of the night? That's the first sign of a stroke. I'm just saying. Gabby, Victoria, booth people.
Hi. It's a bit of an upset this week. In third place this time, we have Priya.
Oh, shit.
In second place.
This could change everything.
Whoa.
This changes a couple of things. In second place, we're going to give it to Chris for taking care of the baby all night.
Whoa.
And in first place, we have Rachel with her mug cake.
Whoa.
Wow.
This shit is scripted, man. This shit is scripted.
Update. I feel like whoever is Dave is cursed, you know?
Yeah, I was cursed. Yeah.
I mean, Dave himself would admit that as well. I'm pretty sure that's what Eat a Peach was all about. Yeah. Just the curse of being Dave.
Except that he is, you know, doing quite well.
This changes quite a bit, actually.
Damn.
Whoa.
Are these correct?
Okay. Updated.
Whoa. Okay. That's a wild swing in scores here. Reclaiming his place at the top of the heap, as predicted, by the way, by Priya Krishna this season, John DeBerry now sits atop with 9.38, falling into a tie for second place.
Whoa. Wow.
Priya Krishna and Brian Ford in a tie.
Damn.
Whoa.
For second place. Fourth is Dave. Rachel, you've lost
my
your
lucky number.
Your lucky 888, and you've climbed up to 9.00.
Whoa.
How my score just doesn't change? Is that possible? Just like nothing happens to my score.
Can I go up slightly?
Wasn't I 8.74 before? Is this possible?
It has to have gone up.
It has to have changed.
That's literally what happened to everyone else.
The map's right.
It's because I'm in every goddamn episode of this cursed show.
It's the average.
Score can't move at all.
I see.
I'm stuck down here, guys. I'm not going to the high school reunion.
I'm in the basement too, so
nothing's happening for us.
We can slow cook some stuff there.
That's where it happens.
Yeah.
That's where it happens. Our lives are just being slow cooked. There are a few episodes left for all of this to change. Rachel, this was your last ingredient, so come to the basement with me. Just move into the basement. But listen,
at least
you climbed above 9, or you climbed above the 8s.
Because
I'm the only one in the 8s down here. Somehow I'm the only one in the 8s.
It's not a contest, Chris. We're both in the basement.
I mean, it's true. It doesn't matter how you got to your basement. Yeah. It doesn't matter what your score was. You're in the basement. Priya, you still have an episode left to reclaim your place. Maple syrup, we're going to have you on again soon. We'll be making the maple pudding cake, the pudding
show. So many desserts at the end.
Well, that's when you eat dessert. That's when you eat dessert.
Oh, was that intentional? Genius.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't think it was, right?
Yes, it was. Of course it was. Who is Dave on that episode, Gabby?
Priya and JDB will be battling for first place.
Oh, Priya, your last episode of the season will be between you, John, and John DeBerry.
But what if you both get second and third? Could Brian move up?
Yeah, who knows Brian's anything? Good.
Could Brian move up?
Who knows?
This
is coming out. The music.
This is incredible. We could not have scripted this better. It's coming down to the last game of the season. Priya, it's a clash of the titans. Priya Krishna, the original wedgie. John DeBerry, who she predicted to be the winner of this season. It's all going to go down. It's going to be a maple syrup wrestling match. No, it's not.
No.
It's going to be a maple syrup
dunk tank?
Chugging contest. That's still to come this season. I think. And then we've got anything else?
A finale.
And Chris, you'll be there too.
I will be there, but I mean, I might as well be
number one.
Might as well be a spectator. I could still.
No, it's not slow cooker. We made you spin.
Could play spoiler to all this, right? Because I could still displace one of you guys and screw you over. So before you hear the last episode of the season, before you hear the maple syrup, there's going to be a few more. There's going to be another little secret special episode, and then we'll get down to the showdown. Plenty of reason to tune into the last cooking episode of the season. Then we're going to have a finale with all sorts of season awards. Discord, the Majordomo Media Discord, is where all of that voting and scoring will happen. You can also check out the Majordomo YouTube channel, where you will see Seth make Priya cry.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
Okay, I mean, what was... yeah, I guess, yeah.
And you'll see
Seth doesn't listen to this, so
you'll just see me cry. Nobody's making me do it. And Rachel, do you think you've cried at all this season from the show?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, more than once.
Chris, is
I'm
your
sure.
video just like you in like one of those night goggles, night vision?
Yeah, I hope so.
So my video, I don't really know because I was just like I deliriously walked down the stairs and then at one point I think I just use the flash on my phone instead of turning the lights on in the kitchen. It's totally
Blair Witch Project.
I have no idea what I said when I opened the thing. I was just like muttering things to myself.
Oh,
and then I would just, like I said, I check the refrigerator to see if there's any like lunch meat, and then I went upstairs and went back to sleep. Look out for ube. It's taking over the world. It's exploding all over the place. It is the trending food of the 21st century.
A tuber to watch.
it's a tuber to watch. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Priya. Thank you, Rachel. Talk to you all very soon.